in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. I know you're already thinking about it. Next week is going to be busy. You've got family coming to you, or you're going to family. There is tons of food to buy if you can find it on the shelf. And of course, you'll have to prepare it. There will be beds to make, there will be bathrooms to clean, and then that's just leading up. The day of, there will be food to serve, you will have to clean the table, and of course, there's a game to be watched. And in all of that, it will be easy to forget the most important thing, that we are gathering to give thanks. And that's what we see in our scripture this morning. How easy it was for nine people to forget the most important thing, to give thanks. And giving thanks is really important to Jesus. Why is that? I want us to look for that as we read from God's word. Before we read, let's ask his help in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. And we pray that you would give us eyes to see the Savior, to see what he has done, to see his mercy and compassion, and to see the fruit of your work in the lives of sinners, not to our glory, but to his. For we ask this in his name. Amen. Hear now God's word, Luke 17 at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." As far God's holy, inspired, infallible, an inerrant word, may he add his blessing to it. Jesus, at the beginning of this chapter, gathers his disciples for some basic instruction in the Christian life. Lessons on sin and lessons on service. But it often happens in Jesus' ministry that teaching opportunities come to him at his feet. And that's what we see here in the passage of Scripture we've just read. Luke reminds us that Jesus is not ambling or wandering. He is going somewhere. He is en route to Jerusalem in the south from Galilee in the north. And as he is making his way slowly but surely to Jerusalem, the holy city, he is passing between Samaria and Galilee. He is somewhere in the borderlands. And it's often the case in borderlands. They're a blend or a mix of the two places. If you visited the Rio Grande Valley, if you visited Laredo, Texas, you will sometimes wonder, am I in the United States or am I in Mexico? The two seem to blend. And that's where we find ourselves here. Jesus is coming into a certain village, verse 12. We don't know if it's a Samaritan village or an Israelite village. What we do know is that he encounters 10 lepers. It's not the first time Jesus met a leper. You may remember all the way back in chapter 5, Jesus had cleansed a leper. And we have little doubt these 10 lepers knew of it. And they wanted Jesus' help. And Jesus helps them. He gives them exactly what they ask for. But it becomes clear as we read on, all 10 are healed, but only one is saved. Each has been healed of disease. Only one has been saved from his sin. Jesus was a man who went about doing good. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. But Jesus Christ came to this earth to save sinners. He did those other things as pointers to the main thing. I want us to look at Jesus' dealings with these 10 lepers, and particularly the one, as a glimpse into what Jesus Christ has come to do. And there are really two basic lessons from this scripture. We see in the first place the misery of man. We see the misery of man in two lights. And as Luke unfolds the misery of these lepers, we get a glimpse into the misery of every son and daughter of Adam. In the first place, look at their condition. They are lepers. That is to say, they're afflicted with some sort of skin disease, not necessarily leprosy. The term is broader than that. They may not have been in physical pain or discomfort. They were certainly unsightly. And there was a deeper challenge. And you see it in verse 12. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Lepers kept their distance. They kept their distance from the village. They kept their distance from Jesus Christ. Why is it that they keep their distance? Because the law of God commanded it. Leviticus chapter 13 at verse 45 was clear. The leprous person, God says, who has the disease, he must wear torn clothes, his hair must hang loose, and he must cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. The law offered no cure. It simply said, you are unclean. You will remain apart. And so if you were visited with this disease, you had no contact with other clean people. You could not hold a job. You could not come to synagogue, to church, on the Sabbath. The only other people you could have for company were other lepers. Why did God do that in the life of Israel? Because as in all things, he was teaching his people a lesson about sin. What does sin do? Sin separates. It separates the sinner, unclean, from a holy God. Sin always separates person from person. And because of sin, we are driven from the presence of God, east of Eden. Because of sin, as Paul reminds Titus, we are hated by others and hating one another. And these 10 lepers were living parables of the ravages of sin, of the effects of sin in this world. That's their condition. There's a second thing that we see. relating to their misery. It's their cry. Look at verse 13. They lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These lepers feel their condition. They are not insensible to their plight. They know the misery that it is to be a leper. They want relief and they want help. And that leads them, Scripture says, to lift up their voices. Not an anemic appeal for help. They are crying for their life. And their cry is very simple. There's only one thing that they need and one thing that they want, and it is mercy. They are saying, Jesus, we deserve nothing from you. Jesus, we offer nothing to you. Have pity upon us because you are full of pity. Have compassion on us because your heart is full of compassion. And did you see how they address the one they know will help them? He is Jesus. He is the one who has come to save his people. He is Master because he is all powerful. He cured that leper back in Luke chapter 5 with a touch, and these 10 say, he can heal me now. So see the misery of man, the condition and the cry. How does this apply to us? God gives us illustrations like this throughout the Scripture so that you and I would understand what sin is and what the effects of sin are. Every one of us in this room was conceived and born in sin. And sin, the Scripture says, makes us ugly before God. Sin always separates from God. Sin always separates person from person. You know this about sin. Why does God pepper examples like this throughout the Scripture? Very simply because we live in a world that doesn't believe this about sin. Our entertainment, our social media paints sin in fair colors. Sin is painted up to look as though it makes people happy, as though it makes people free, as though it makes people fulfilled. And God gives you these pictures so that you will remember, so that I will remember, child, this is what sin is. Whatever the world around you says otherwise, this is God's mind about sin, and never forget it. When sin comes knocking, when sin comes looking, you remember the horror and the vileness of sin. But then there's something else for us. It's one thing to be this, but it can be another thing to feel it. Have you ever felt your sin? Sin is a burden. Sin is a weight. And left to itself, it sinks the soul into eternal misery and punishment. And it is a mercy if you feel the weight and the burden of that sin. I remember being a boy and hearing of people who were born with a condition. They could feel little to no pain. A snake would bite them. They'd touch a hot burner on the stove. They wouldn't feel it. I remember telling my mother how wonderful it would be to feel no pain, and she quickly corrected me. It would be miserable. She said, do you know the harm you could do to yourself? You could die. And that's where these 10 lepers find themselves. They feel the burden. They are not insensible to their condition. It's a question for you and for me this morning. Do you feel the weight and burden of sin? And what do you do when you feel that weight? You cry out for help. You cry out for relief. And the scripture says there is one place you may cry out for help and relief. There is only one, Jesus, Master, who has the power, who has the mercy to give sinners that relief. Have you called out to him? But what happens when you do call out to him? And that brings us to the second thing I want us to see in our scripture. We see the misery of man, yes, but we see the mercy of Christ. Jesus heals these 10. It is a dim picture of the salvation he has come to bring. And we see that salvation in the life of one of these lepers. When Jesus says to him in verse 10, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." Your faith has saved you. And we get three glimpses about the salvation, the mercy of Christ here. In the first place, Jesus shows us salvation is free. Salvation is free. Who is the one who turns back? He was, we're told twice, verse 16 and verse 18, he is a Samaritan. Jesus asks, verse 18, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Jews and Samaritans did not get along. They are not like Americans and Canadians. The rivalry and the hostility and the violence was legendary. Jews looked at Samaritans as apostates and deserving of judgment. And Jesus himself was crystal clear on another occasion. He tells the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. And it is on this Samaritan, a man from an apostate people, that Jesus has mercy. You can't earn Jesus' mercy. You never deserve Jesus' mercy. Whatever pedigree or DNA you have does not put you in the front of the line for the mercy of God. And there is nothing in your pedigree or DNA that will ever disqualify you from the mercy of God. Jesus' mercy is free. It is unconditioned upon anything in the sinner. Salvation is free, and then salvation, in the next place, is through faith alone. Did you notice how Jesus healed these lepers? Verse 14, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." He doesn't touch them. There's no ritual. There's no formula. Just a command. Just a word. And they're faced with a choice. Will we believe the word of this man? And they leave. And they take that word with them. And they are cleansed on the way. And then this Samaritan comes back. He had been healed like the other 9, but Jesus has given him more than healing. He is saved. And Jesus tells him, verse 19, rise, go your way, your faith has made you well. This man's soul has been saved. The guilt and stain, not just of leprosy, but of sin, has been taken away. He has been clothed not only with pure skin, but with the spotless righteousness of Jesus Christ. And his returning to Jesus didn't save him. His praise and thanksgiving don't save him. Christ saved him. And he saved him through faith alone. And then Jesus shows us salvation bears fruit. Here are the 10 lepers, and they're on the road. And at some point on that road, they discover, I've been cleansed. And Jesus said to them, verse 14, go and show yourselves to the priest. Why? Because the law required it. And when the priest saw them, and he saw their pure skin, he would pronounce them clean. That was their ticket to a normal life. That was their ticket to a job. That was their ticket to live in a home with a family. That was their ticket to go back into the market to worship with God's people. It is what they had waited their whole lives for and never thought they would get. And they beat a path to the priest. Well, 9 of them. Because one says to himself, I will go to the priest. That's what Jesus told me to do. But I have something more pressing that I need to do first. And he turns round. And he comes to Jesus. Verse 16, he falls on his feet. He worships him. He gives him thanks. And there you see the paths diverge. These 9 were very happy to get healed by Jesus so they could get on with their lives. And this one had been given a new life. And crowning that life would be living to the glory of Jesus Christ. It would be the worship of Jesus Christ. It would take priority over everything. And when Jesus sees this, he delights in the fruit of the grace he has shown. As we close, how does this apply? We're approaching a season of thanksgiving. We have many things to give thanks for. When this one leper was gripped by the grace of Christ, he was taken up and driven by thankfulness to the Savior. How can you and I be gripped in thankfulness to this Savior? What did he see that we need to see? What did he see? And our vision can be clouded, but how can we see clearly? And he saw 2 things. This man had looked beneath his leprosy to his deepest problem. I am a sinner in the sight of God. This leprosy is a testimony that I deserve nothing from God. I am unclean. I am vile. I deserve judgment. And God had shown him favor. He hadn't only cleansed his body, he had forgiven and he had cleansed his soul. He had restored him to right relation with his Maker. You know God this way. He offers himself to you in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save that which is lost. Have you come to Jesus Christ? If you have come to Jesus Christ and exchanged your vile garments for his glorious robe of righteousness, then your heart is thankful. And it is a gratitude that will transcend people and priorities and pleasures in life. And then we get to see something this leper only saw in the shadows. What did it cost Jesus to save this man? Believer in Christ, what did it cost Jesus to save you? As he hung on that cross at Calvary, the sin bearer, shrouded in darkness, he was an unclean and loathsome thing to his Father. And the sense of fellowship and delight that Jesus had enjoyed for 30-odd years was interrupted. And the separation he experienced, the sense of that separation, put pale to anything these lepers had ever experienced. This Jesus, this Master, full of compassion and full of power, submitted himself to death and was treated without mercy, so that you and I, believer, could know mercy and life and uninterrupted fellowship through faith in Jesus. And it's as your mind goes there that you find the fuel of thankfulness, not just on the fourth Thursday of November, but every day of the year, until you see your Savior in glory, not in shame. And far from ceasing to be thankful, your heart will burst when you see the one you love come for you. Until then, we say and we live gratitude to this Christ. Let's pray. Father, how we praise you for the mercy, for the power that has joined together in the work of Christ to save sinners like us from our plight. Something far worse than leprosy in the flesh, but sin with eternal consequences. And we praise you that he has finished the work he came to do. And we praise you for appointing this table, that we would never forget, that our hearts would be thankful for all that you have done. Father, forgive us when our minds have been clouded by unbelief, by the distractions around us in the world. We pray that as we come to this table, that you would restore clear vision, that we would see Jesus by faith, and in seeing him, love him anew, and live thankfully all of our days. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to come to this table, let's stand and sing hymn 254, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.